This podcast episode, while not explicit, contains some gruesome details about violence that may be troubling for some listeners to hear. Listener discretion is advised.
Creepy Life Podcast, a podcast with a wide variety of topics for all your true crime, paranormal, and otherwise spooky needs. I'm Thomas.
I'm Sparky. You change your inflection on the beginning every time.
Every time.
But you say, I'm Thomas, exactly I'm the Thomas. Same every time.
Yeah, there's only so many ways to say, I'm Thomas.
I've heard you introduce yourself differently. Like,
I'm Thomas.
Fine.
I hate everything.
I'm Luke Skywalker. Jedi Knight and friend of Captain Solo.
Friend of
your mom.
I am friends with my mom. And your mom.
I love my mom. Well, it's the end of the semester. And I couldn't pick a topic. And
she just happened to be listening to Skinned and the song came on and she's like, Bazinga!
No, I was just looking at my list. I was like, I'm just gonna do that one. Because the one that Thomas is going to cover next is a big true crime one, so I decided to actually go away from true crime a little bit for a couple weeks. Don't die of shock. I know, it's pretty hard for you to hear. So, you probably saw from the title of the episode, but we're going to be covering
the Watergate scandal.
No. The very famous mystery of Elisa Lam.
Word.
Alright, so my sources... if you're interested in hearing more of the scientific definitions, I would read the first post in the description. It's a Reddit post by user Hammy Sammy, and each one of those words has three M's. It's very interesting if you're a nerd. You like sciencey stuff. Red Hat and Podcast, episode 88 about Elisa Lam. A couple YouTube videos. Medium article, which is really just scanned documents. All that's interesting, theghostinmymachine.com, and a Tumblr blog.
Wait, Ghost in My Machine, isn't that like a really old paranormal website?
It's from 2014, or at least this post is.
Huh.
Alright, so this is a mystery, like you said. It's possibly been solved. And yes, I do know that this is a topic that, like, everybody has covered, ever. But... it's really interesting to me, and I'm doing three stories in a row, so I think I can have some liberties on what I feel like covering. Also, if you remember the Tyler Hadley episode, we talked about a band that had a song about him. They also have a song about this case. Theirs is much more a liberal interpretation of what happened compared to what I think happened. It's still a good song, though. I like it. It's a bop, as the kids say.
Who says that?
You've never heard that?
I have only heard that when I'm like looking up 50s and 60s stuff.
It's a thing now. There's a couple quick mentions of possible suicide, assault, but it's gonna be super quick. But if it bothers you, just heads up. So in this episode, I'm gonna kind of say what happened and who she was first.
And then get into theories?
Yes.
Word.
So, most of you probably know this story, at least the basics of it. I did learn things doing this, but I also could type like half of my notes just from what I knew already. But so this takes place, again, talking about it as if it's a story, but it is a thing that happened to a real person. But if I call it a story, it's just because that's how my brain processes it. Yay. This happened at the Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles.
Now, isn't the Cecil where the Night Stalker used to hang out?
Yep.
And yeah, where he used to come home, covered in blood, throw his clothes in the dumpster, and walk through the lobby completely naked and no one batted an eye?
I don't know about that, but I do know that he was one of the serial killers that was there, that lived there while they were active. Because It was originally kind of a business hotel, but they ended up turning more into an extended stay because of where they were in the town. It made more sense for business practice, so most people stayed there long-term for cheap. And it's 14 stories. Like I said, at least two serial killers stayed there while they were active. I don't remember who the other one was.
Wait, is this the hotel? Is this close to the Black Dahlia?
The Black Dahlia. This is thought to be the last place she was seen, yeah.
This hotel has great connections.
It's also referred to as a suicide hotel because so many people killed themselves by jumping off the roof or jumping out the windows. And yeah, so it just really didn't have a great reputation. It was either haunted or bad luck. But this is probably the case that in recent, semi-recent years, it's most famous for.
All right.
This is, at least for me, this is when you say a Cecil Hotel, I'm like, oh yeah, it's at least them. But yeah, so anyway, in February of 2013, at the Cecil Hotel, the people staying at the hotel were complaining about the water. Great. I told my mom this on the phone earlier. Apparently she didn't know about this.
Seriously?
Yeah. And I told her about this. She goes, ew, that's disgusting. That's how my mom talks. Not actually.
Wow.
But some of them were saying the water pressure was just awful when they tried to shower. Some said the water that came out tasted funny. And others said the water that came out was...
black?
Black. Which is not a good sign.
No.
And when I was writing this, I'm thinking about, this is an extended stay. So this is the water they use to shower, wash their hands, drink, make coffee, cook with, brush their teeth with. This is everything.
You imagine the guy that goes to make ramen noodles?
It comes in black. So because people are complaining about this, they sent their maintenance man, Santiago Lopez, up to the roof to see the water tanks and see if something was wrong. And he climbed up onto the top of the roof. I'll show you some pictures. I mean, you know, but...
yeah, I know what it looks like up there.
And we will post these. I sent them to Seth already because I'm efficient. But one of the tanks had a door, the latch, like, leading into it, open. And when he looked inside, he noticed there was an Asian woman naked inside. Appeared to be dead. Because she was kind of greenish.
Did he check for a pulse, though?
No. How was he going to get in there?
Same way she did.
Well, that ended really well for her, didn't it?
I believe that aliens beamed her down and got their coordinates wrong.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so there was a dead woman inside the water tank. I believe this was the main water tank, like the biggest one at the hotel. And, of course, it was Elisa Lam, because that's the name of the episode. I saw different things. She was between 5'4 and 5'6 and 121 pounds, which was me in sixth grade.
Which was me at age 5.
Right. She had been a student at the University of British Columbia, but she had dropped out right before Christmas. She just had gone through like a really bad depressive episode. And I think, you know, it's fine. Take care of yourself. Do what you gotta. She was traveling. She arrived in L.A. on January 26th and checked into the Cecil. She was originally in a hostel-style room, which I can't even imagine. Like, I would hate that.
Okay, but keep in mind that most of the time in hostels, it's not like a continued thing.
Well, yeah, but she was going to be there for like 3 days, but...
but usually it's just, you just go there and you sleep and then you're gone.
Yeah, but I still hate it. What if you wake up and someone's like standing over your bed?
You ever seen the movie Hostel?
No, and I don't want to. So, yeah, she was originally in a hostel-style room, but the other guests that were staying in the hostel complained that she acted too strangely and she was moved to a private room. Like I said, she was traveling. She was going up the West Coast Social, and her parents didn't really want her to go, but she told them, I'll check in with you every day. And she had been doing that, except she didn't on January 31st. And she was supposed to check out of the Cecil on February 1st. But because she didn't check in that day, her parents were concerned. And they're in Canada, so they can't just, like, walk over and say, hey, what's up, you know?
I don't think that's how they would have phrased it. What's up, B?
I hate you. So her parents reported her missing to the Los Angeles Police Department. And they went to the hotel, they got the CCU footage from the elevator and released it to try and see if anyone knew anything about her situation. like, know where she was. Might have triggered a memory like, oh yeah, I saw her, whatever. If you haven't seen the video, I would recommend that you watch it now. Seriously, just pause this and go watch it. It is the first link in our description for YouTube, or you can just search Elisa Lam elevator and it'll come up. So in the video, she comes into the elevator. She at one point kind of looks like she's hiding, and that kind of comes back later as a theory of what she's doing. She gets really close to all the buttons and she presses all of them on the elevator. She's like waving her hands around. I watched it because I'm impatient and you know this. I watch pretty much all videos on 2x speed. So it really looks like she's dancing at some point, like she steps in and out of the elevator. She kind of like walks around, gets back in. It's really strange. It's just not the way that somebody who was in a good mental state would act by themselves in a place that was not their own home. I act like that all the time at home.
You're weird though.
Yeah, but when people are watching, I don't know. So, because she pressed all the buttons, assuming one of those was, like, the door open button, the doors don't close for a long time. When she finally does leave the elevator, the video continues, and it watches it as it goes from floor to floor. It's really eerie. I mean, that's what would happen if you press every button, though. Just open and nobody would get in, and then close and go on, but still, it just kind of makes you feel gross. I don't know. Okay, so January 31st, she didn't check in with her parents. However, she had gone to a bookstore that day, and she bought some, like, music and books for her family, and she told the store owner that's what she was there doing. And the store owner, I think her name was, like, Kate Orphan, she said that Elisa was very happy, she was excited to give stuff to her family, so it didn't really seem like somebody that was planning on doing anything rash. So this all kind of led up to this mystery of what the heck happened to her. That information already had started a bunch of theories and conspiracies. They obviously had to get her body out of the tank, but they couldn't fit the equipment through the hole in the top. So they had to drain the tank, cut a hole in the side, and get her out that way.
Did they patch the hole?
So when the autopsy report was released, even more conspiracies started because originally, the death was marked as could not be determined.
Mm-hmm.
That was crossed out. It was written error underneath. And then drowning was crossed off instead. They may have thought that something else had happened beforehand, but once they investigated more, they're like, no, this is just a case of drowning. But, again, people latched onto that and said, oh, it's a cover-up! I don't know. But if they were going to release those documents, why wouldn't they just remake it if it was a cover-up, you know?
Yeah, if it was a cover-up, they would make it look as seamless as possible.
Right. So, here's one creepy thing before I get into theories. Remember that blog post I mentioned? Is one of my sources?
Yes, the Ghost in the Machine?
No. The Tumblr blog.
Oh, Tumblr blog.
Her blog is still up.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, she had a Tumblr blog. It was called Nouvelle Nouveau, and she mostly posted, like, pictures of fashion stuff. One thing that's really creepy that freaked people out, she died in early February, probably, or maybe, like, January 31st, February 1st, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in that 48-hour mark is most likely.
And her blog continued updating until December 2013, and so people were like, oh my god, it's a ghost! Or people said it was hackers. Or people said somebody else was updating for her, but it's not anything, like, creepy. It's just, like, pictures of cute things. But it's just scheduled posts.
Yeah, so, like, I was just gonna say that, because I've been looking into creating a blog. One of the things that we need to do is actually create a website for our show.
What?
And, yeah, just, like, we can have an episode edited, ready to go, and we're not gonna release it for a week or few days or something. You can schedule it. You can do that with posts, too.
I would love to be that far ahead.
So would I.
But yeah, I know. I do that, like, usually the day before on Facebook, I'll come up with a post or something. But yeah, on Tumblr, at the time, you could schedule posts up to a year in advance. And the things that have been posted, like, there was one that was, like, a spring fashion thing. And then the one that was posted in December was a picture of a light bulb that looked like a snow globe.
Hmm.
So it's just stuff she thought was cute that she wanted to make, like, season appropriate, I guess.
I mean, if you have a blog and you have, like, an audience,
yeah,
one thing you're always going to want to do is make sure that you have plenty of content coming out for them.
Right.
So, oh, this, I really like this, I would like to post this, but this is more Christmassy. Let's set it for December. This is more Halloween, let's set it for October.
But I will say, I noticed, I don't know, like, if it just took a while to update, but she had a ton of stuff posted for February. A ton. So I don't know what happened there. But one interesting thing, her phone has never been found. But I don't think that somebody was like, oh, I'm just going to keep posting on our Tumblr because I like what she posts. It is kind of weird. And I did want to say, too, that at the top of her blog is a quote from an author that I was obsessed with in, like, my college years, Chuck Palahniuk.
Is that the Fight Club guy?
Yeah. And the quote is, you're always haunted by the idea you're wasting your life.
Oh, God, that hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you would probably hate his books because they make you think too much, and that's probably why I'm a little emo girl deep down. Anyway, but I think based on the description of, like her introduction post on her blog, we would have been friends. She talks about, like, her mental health issues, which I'm famously very open about.
You've never battled mental health.
No, never. She said something like that she always assumes everyone on the internet is a pedophile because of To Catch a Predator. She also said that she was very awkward. And I'm very awkward.
We know nothing about being awkward.
So we could be awkward buddies. But yeah, I think her and I would have gotten along splendidly. Alright, let's get into some theories.
Just really quick, age-wise, where would you guys fall?
We would have actually been really close in age. I think she was a couple years younger than me. Yeah, just a couple. She would have been between you and me. So, I think she was born 91 or 92. Alright, so some theories. I'm going to talk about the four, like, main theories that I've heard. And I found... Alright, so... One of the theories, according to the Red Handed podcast, around the time that she went missing, there was a breakout of tuberculosis around the Cecil Hotel, because it was kind of, like I said, a slum area, and a lot of homeless people were getting tested for tuberculosis, and apparently a lot of them were HIV positive, and you have to get a special kind of tuberculosis test, because it's kind of hard to see... I don't know, it's complicated science stuff. But the test was called a Lam-Elisa, spelled the exact same way as her name. So the theory is that Elisa Lam never existed, and people were saying that she was created, and this whole story was created, because it would create a big scandal, and if you Googled Lam-Elisa... This is what would come up instead of, this is a really insane part of the theory, instead of people finding out that the government was purposefully infecting people with HIV and or tuberculosis and then covering up the need for testing. People are weird.
They are weird. I don't know a lot about TB, but I'm pretty sure the testing... wouldn't matter with HIV.
Well, I looked up, because I was trying to find her autopsy on, like, a PDF archive.
Yeah.
And I searched Elisa Lam, and everything that came up was Lam-Elisa, and it was that test. So, it does exist. That exists. But I don't... People who are homeless are more likely to get sick with a variety of things because they don't have proper shelter or access to healthcare.
A lot of exposure.
Yeah. So I don't think... I mean, the government has a role in it because they could take better care of its people.
Absolutely.
But still.
I guess it would have something to do with blood, but I can't imagine HIV, an autoimmune infection, really affecting...
I don't know.
I mean, I could easily see how having HIV would... basically kill you right away if you have tuberculosis where you're literally coughing up your own lungs.
So, that's the first one I wanted to cover. Just get that out of the way because it's ridiculous. Also, there was an alien theory. And Now, the more that I think about it, I've heard the demon theory before, like that she was possessed. But
I think I heard the possession theory from Time Suck.
In this case, I think there's enough evidence otherwise that I just don't even put any faith in those theories.
Yeah.
Which, well, I want to tell you a story in just a little bit, but here's the true crime theory.
You're not going to tell me the alien theory?
That she was abducted by aliens and dropped into the tank. Yay.
Cool. But when did she meet the aliens?
I don't know.
Was she freaking out because they were physically following her, or were they beaming images into her mind? Was she seeing the owl outside the window?
Oh my god, we're talking about owls again. Talked about owls last week.
Yeah, because I'm convinced he was seeing the owl.
So this is going to be a bit more heavy because this is like the true crime, like I said, part of it. So if you need to skip ahead a few thousand times, whatever. I'm not going to get into a ton of details though. So because of her strange behavior in the elevator and how it kind of looked like at one point that she's hiding kind of against like the buttons, people think that she was either being followed or she had been drugged. However, all the hotel staff said that she was alone the whole time they saw her, and so they didn't see anyone with her following around or anything. And if she had been given date rape drugs, that would be one thing. But I don't believe they found any of that in her system. I don't think they actually tested for it, but there was no alcohol in her system, which is where...
But isn't, like, the date rape drug, isn't that one that's, like, their standard, it'll pop up in their blood test or whatever?
I think so. We'll talk about the blood test thing in just a little bit, though. And it does look like she's talking to someone in the elevator, but I think that could have to do with the mental health problems she was having, which, again, we're going to talk about in just a little bit. I wanted to save the theory that I like the best for last, so that's why I'm just like, yeah, we're going to talk about it soon. But, yeah, I think it's probably a side effect of her medication that she was or was not actually taking. That was one big theory, was that she was being stalked and somebody killed her and threw her in the tank.
Actually, considering the history of the hotel not being that good of an area, it is very possible that she could have witnessed something.
That is true.
She could have witnessed a drug deal gone wrong. She could have witnessed something. They follow her back. She's frantic because, you know, I don't know, maybe the stereotypical film, oh crap, I just made eye contact with someone that just killed someone.
And they're dripping blood off of their clothing. I should probably run.
So yeah. She runs, they take off, there's more of them. She's trying to throw them off. Maybe she gets in the elevator, she's panicking, should I stay in it, should I not? She hits the buttons. The buttons are just there to keep the elevator going while she takes the stairs, making them think she took the elevator. They end up catching up with her. Kill her, hide her body.
Okay, here's what I think that's wrong with
that. That's theory. Not my personal...
I know, but I'm just... Yeah. With that theory. Why would she have pressed all of the buttons? Because she very methodically goes through and pushes, like, literally every button. Why would she do that if she was trying to get away from someone? And it's not like she, like, runs out right away. She steps into the hallway and then she kind of, like, steps around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't make sense to me. If she was being followed, she would have either gotten into the elevator and, like, hit the door close button immediately.
Or
she
would have hidden the whole time. Done the hand thing, where you, like, take your hand and just slide it down against the buttons, hit them all, and then run out.
Yeah.
So the door closes, goes up, it stops, making it harder for them to get the elevator back down.
So the theory of sexual assault was also brought up. So this is really gross. So she had a prolapsed anus, and she had bleeding from her anus because of it. And people were thinking that that was because of an assault. However, it's pretty common for water decomposition.
Yeah. Remind me. So she disappeared around the end of January, early February. How long after that was she found?
Oh, did I not say that? Sorry.
I think you did. I just ignored it.
Sorry. February 19th.
Okay, so she's been in here about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Almost 3.
So, honestly, even if she had been assaulted, unless there was sufficient tissue damage, any DNA evidence would have been gone.
Probably, but yeah. So, like I said, she was naked in the tank, but it's thought that either she was... It was related to mental health, and we'll talk about that again in a second. Or it was because once she was in there, she realized what was happening, and she took her clothes off, thinking, okay, I'll get this heavy clothing off of me. Because her clothing was also in the tank with her. And if you strip someone, why would you throw the clothes in there? That just seems...
I don't know.
Why would you put it all together? You know what I mean?
Maybe the murder is a humiliation thing, and then you realize, oh, well, gotta cover my tracks, so...
Why would you put it all in one place? Why wouldn't you make it harder to hide?
Of course, they easily could have just put the clothing in a bag, dropped it in a dumpster, some person would have found it, and then...
I don't know. Anyway, side note, though. So, two side notes about that. One, a rape kit was done, but as usual, it was never processed. Hashtag end the backlog. There's so many untested rape kits, it's ridiculous. Yep. Another weird side note, though. The autopsy report, which I read, and it was fascinating, and now I want to be an autopsy technician. The autopsy noted that her clothes and personal effects had, like, bits of sand all over it, which is really weird. Like, why would there be sand in the tank?
Sand. I'm not... Is it possible? Like, how much sand?
Her clothes was dry at this point, and they said it was, like, in, like, all the seams and stuff.
Okay.
Which is just really weird.
Do you think it's possible that she was actually at the beach prior to her death, and that sand could have been... Like, if she'd been laying on the beach, maybe in one of the pockets?
Possibly, but the hotel staff also said she very rarely left the hotel. But nobody knows for sure when she went missing, so that could be a theory, but if they didn't see her leave, you know, I don't know. Also, so the last part of the true crime type thing, another theory is that she did this intentionally, and she threw herself into the water tank to drown herself, which to me seems like a horrible way to do it, because at least in a bathtub, it just seems a lot more doable than in a giant tank of water where you're floating and you'd have no way to, like, push yourself down, you know what I mean?
I'm imagining a steel tank that probably had a big, heavy door on the top.
The door was open, though.
Like, when he went up there and found it, the door was open?
We'll talk more about that in a little bit, too. Like I said earlier, when the shopkeeper from the bookstore saw her, she said that she was very bubbly, very, like, happy, excited to see her family again. So I really don't think that she did this on purpose.
When someone is majorly depressed and contemplating suicide, the people that they try and hide that from is their family and friends, not complete strangers.
Right. And she, like I said, did have a lot of mental health issues, but she never mentioned anything to anyone about having suicidal ideation. Like I said, she's pretty open about her mental illnesses on her blog. So I think if she had felt that...
She probably would have posted something. Even some subtle hint.
Yeah. So my second favorite theory, that I don't believe, but I still like it, is the elevator game. Are you familiar with the elevator game?
Unfortunately.
In your words.
Stupid.
If you're not familiar with it, it's a game you play by going to different floors in an elevator. And this is the theory that Skinned in their music video goes off of. And I think they play it really well, but I really don't think it's what happened. The apparent goal of the game is to end up in an other world. And you have to go to the floors in a certain order. It's 4-2-6-2-10-5-1. You can get off, I think, on the 10th floor or the 1st floor. On the 5th floor, a lady will come on, but don't talk to her, because if you do, she'll, like, take your soul or kill you or something. Also, if you want to stay in the underworld, it looks just like the real world, except it's all dark and there's a glowing red cross. Totally normal. And if you try to get back to the real world, don't get out of the elevator if anything looks suspicious, because it's fake. And you have to go through all the steps again in order to get back. So, yeah. I don't think that this is what she was doing, though, because she didn't press, like... 4-2-6, because then she'd have to wait to get there and then hit 2 again. I don't think that it would even go in the right order if you pressed them all at once. It would just go ding ding ding.
Yeah, it would go in sequential order.
Yeah, and she kept going in and out of the elevator. But yeah, so she exits and re-enters the elevator at least twice, which is against the rules, so I don't think she was playing the elevator game. The first time I saw the Reddit post about this, I was really bummed, because I usually like to assume that things are paranormal or aliens, but I think they make some really good points. So, the Hammy Sammy or whatever. So, the person that made the post did a deep dive on the autopsy toxicology portion. Analyzed the medical information, looked at the pills she was prescribed versus the pills that she was taking, and showed up on her toxicology report, and went from there. Very interesting, actually. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, I would definitely read it. And they do explain it in a way that dumb people like me can understand, so... Anyway, here's my takeaway from it. She was prescribed a lot of medication. Like I said, she had a lot of mental health issues. She was on bipolar medication, which included antipsychotics and mood stabilizers, which are pretty essential for bipolar. Mm-hmm. She was on anxiety and depression treatments, one of which is the same that I'm on.
Oh, lovely. Stay away from water tanks.
Right. And they also mentioned meds for ADHD, narcolepsy, anti-seizure, and convulsion pills. So, her brain was not a fun place to be. And again, I'm definitely not going to shame her at all because I have severe anxiety and high-functioning depression and OCD, which is a great mess all of itself. So, I totally know that her brain was probably not a fun place to be. I don't have bipolar, but two of my closest friends have been diagnosed. They went through a heck of a time before they got their medications right, missing like tons of school, just not wanting to be anywhere. Like, if you don't get it right, it just messes you up. But that's true with any kind of medication.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher from Star Wars had a lot of mental health issues, and it was actually very close to when she died that her medication was to the point that she felt like they were going in the right direction.
That's sad.
Yeah.
So, based on this video, what they were talking about, this post, because of the medication she was on / prescribed, seemed pretty obvious she had bipolar disorder. And if you don't really know what bipolar is, you can have bouts of depression and mania. Typically, they last longer, especially when you're unmedicated. Because I did talk to my doctor about it at one point, and she goes, I don't think you're bipolar, you're just moody. But I think it lasts typically like days at a time where you'll just feel on top of the world and then crash and not want to do anything. And my one friend that I'm thinking of in particular missed weeks of school at a time. It was not going well for her. She's fine now, but...
That was one of the things that doctors suggested as a possibility before they actually diagnosed me with what was wrong with me.
What? Autism?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with you.
Tell that to all those stupid radio ads. What if my son is autistic?
Okay, sidebar rant really quick. If you don't want to get your child vaccinated because they could possibly be autistic, it concerns me that you would rather have a dead child than an autistic child.
And let me also just point out that autism is something that happens during the development stage in the womb.
Uh-huh.
It's not something that happens after you're born.
You might be diagnosed after, like, you get a vaccine, but correlation is not causation, and it just means it took a while to get a diagnosis. It doesn't mean it's caused by that.
I was 21.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
So anyway, as a side effect of her medication / bipolar, she may have also suffered from paranoia and or hallucinations, among some other fun side effects.
My theory is that she might have had either naturally or maybe a side effect of the cocktail she was taking might have had schizophrenia.
I wondered about that too.
Because the hallucinations, the acting rash, seeing things, perhaps.
The way that she was acting in the elevator, it looked like she was having a conversation with someone, but you never see another person. So, yeah, she... Like I said, it looked like she was having a discussion with someone else. And she's waving her hands around a lot, which can actually be a side effect of mania, or having a manic episode, where I think they called it, like, psychomotor, where you can't control what your body's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in Red Handed, they talked about how at some point in the video, it looks like she's almost petting something. So it may have been a hallucination that she was seeing like a dog or something there. But in the autopsy report, which I read and tried to understand as much as I could, again, relied a lot on Reddit. So anyway, autopsy report, they noted that she had many of the things in her system that she was supposed to be taking, but it seemed like she hadn't taken one of her antipsychotic pills recently. It didn't show up when they, because they did the test on her internal organs, not in her blood, because of the water decomposition, they couldn't test her blood.
Yeah.
So, like you were talking about earlier, the date rape thing, they had no way to test for that, because her blood was so badly
decomposed
and contaminated. Diluted. Yeah. So, she hadn't taken her antipsychotic / mood stabilizers, and at least the day that she died, she didn't take one of her antidepressants. She was not drunk or on any illegal drugs. They did find some alcohol in her system, but it was, like, the normal amounts that your stomach makes, basically. Mm. Not from drinking. But because she wasn't taking her meds as directed, she was probably in a state of mania.
The video definitely looks like that.
Yeah, but I will say it is kind of creepy because she's not smiling or anything. But it, mania doesn't have to be, like, happy. It's just, like, overly excited or, like, moving. Whereas if you think of a depressed person, they become a burrito in a bunch of blankets. I'm not speaking from experience or anything.
Anyway. That actually sounds like a charming idea.
Right, I know, right? And I do, again, want to say that I'm not victim blaming at all, because I know, like, okay, so personally, I've been on antidepressants on and off since I was in, like, middle school, and the first time I took them for a couple months, and I started feeling better, and I went, oh, I don't need these anymore.
Exactly. I honestly think, no matter how many times I've gone to the doctor for something, I don't think I've ever actually finished medication.
I know, you're awful.
I think I've taken it until I either feel better or start feeling better, and it's like, oh, I don't need it.
That was the next thing I put in here. So many times, like, when people start to feel better, you stop taking your antibiotics because you're like, why am I taking this? I don't need this anymore. And that's just kind of, I don't know if it's instinct, but it feels right at the time. And like I said, I did it twice. Well, I've done this twice where I thought, I don't need this anymore, I'm fine. The first time, I went from being fine to thinking about suicide for the first time. The second time I did it, both times cold turkey, by the way, which is great. The second time, I, like, was so depressed I couldn't leave my bed for days, and I just cried.
Okay, other than, like, crying part, just staying in bed for days sounds kind of fun.
That's your dream life.
Well, I'm a retail worker in the year 2020. Yeah, that's a vacation for me.
But, yeah, so, like, now, obviously, I realize that the reason I feel better is because of the medication, so I'm not going to stop taking it. But it does seem like sometimes, especially when you're young, she was 21, that you're like, oh, I don't need this. Why am I bothering with this? I don't need this.
Also, how long was she on these medications? It's possible, even if it was just, like, a year or two of being on it, she still could have had that mindset of, oh, I'm doing great, I don't need to take it, or
and
it's fine
if
I skip a day.
Pretty common in a lot of people with mental illness. If they're going through a period where they might feel great, even if it's just like a week, they might stop taking it for a little bit and then realize, oh, crap, that was a mistake. So, again, I'm not blaming her because I've done this exact same thing. But I'm just telling you, even if you don't think you need it, you need it. Take your meds. So, yeah, I think with all the mental health issues she was dealing with, she was probably pretty average. So the biggest issue with this theory that people have fought on the internet about many times, how did she get into the tank?
I just came up with a theory.
What's your theory?
Okay, let's say she was on some meds, and now she's off of them. She's having these manic episodes. A lot of people in that situation are very impulsive, and they make choices that are not smart.
That's exactly it.
What if she was on the roof for some reason, sees a water tank, and thinks, why don't I take a quick swim? I can climb out. Gets in there and realizes she can't.
Yeah.
Door's still open. She panics. The clothing, it's weighing her down. I'll be lighter without it.
Yeah, and that I meant to write that in here, and I forgot that a big part of mania is overestimating your abilities. So impulse control isn't great, and you seem to think that you can do a lot of things that are not physically possible. So, like I said, like we talked about a little bit ago, the door situation on the tank. Here's a picture of the tanks.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, I believe this one here is the one she was in, the bottom right one. They're pretty tall. I think they're about 6 feet tall. If she was about my height or a little bit shorter, I mean, she was obviously in better shape than I'm in, but I can't imagine getting on top of something like that, because there's nothing to, like, stand on nearby. I mean, unless she climbed on the railing up here, but...
Did it not have a ladder or something?
Someone else posted this image, and you can see the tanks, and again, we're going to post these all on our social media. We've got the tanks here. This is the roof that they think that she climbed up to get on top of. Over here's a ladder. So she just went around the side of that building.
Those tanks are very small.
They're like 6 foot tall, 4 feet wide, I think.
Yeah, so I was kind of imagining, like, you know, you'll see these photos of old Western towns, and they'll have like a great
like
big...
Like a water tower?
Like, you've seen the movie Wild Wild West, right?
I don't think so.
In the very beginning, Will Smith is like, chilling in this water tower with this girl. That's kind of what I imagined, and that's honestly what the other photo looks like. Mm-hmm. Like, they're quite large. But then you see it with, you know, an average-sized man next to it, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, they aren't as big as you would think. Which, actually, I didn't think about. If they're only 4 feet wide, she wouldn't have been able to, like, lay down.
Mm-mm.
Which would suck. But yeah, you can see the guy sitting there. Even if he, like, lifted his arms up, it's not really great to climb up, I don't think. But here, you might be looking and think, well, that still looks like a big drop, or you might have to jump a ways. If you look at this picture, you can see the water tank is right next to the wall there.
Uh-huh.
So she could have just jumped down. Like, I mean,
Or kind of skim down, you know, you get close to the edge. Yeah, you kind of lower yourself a little bit and then just kind of let go.
Kind of like going to the edge of the stage, sitting down and jumping off the edge. You know,
like, kind of like when you're at the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not really jumping in necessarily. You're just kind of lowering yourself in and then you just let go.
Yeah, my guess is if she was feeling manic, I don't think she would have thought twice about jumping this distance, because it's not, it's maybe 3 feet, 4 feet.
Yeah.
And it's literally right next to the wall. So she wouldn't have to, like, leap. She just...
Okay, and where was she from originally? Canada?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and how long had she been in Los Angeles?
5 days.
Okay. She could have felt warm and wanted to swim, like in her manic pinch.
But this was January.
Yes, absolutely it was January, but when I lived in San Diego, I was at the beach in the water in January.
Well.
Everyone else was wearing coats, and it was like 65, 70 degrees, and I was like, hey, this is nice.
Stop taking my theory before I get to it. So, yeah, I don't think that would have been an issue. And I believe, like I said, I believe that's the one that she was in. Because mm-hmm. It looks like that's what they're working out of. So, I love nerds on the
internet.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. So, one of the big discussions on Reddit was how she got into the tank in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were like, oh, the doors are so heavy. Someone actually, like, sat down and did the math of, like, oh, that type of steel at this time with that size would have weighed about this much. And it was only about 31 pounds.
Which isn't much at all.
No. And, like, I always thought, like, when I was in, like, middle school, I was really strong, and she's about the same size I was then.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if she was feeling manic. And like I said, she overestimated her ability. She'd be like, I can open this, like, no big issue. But, so they only would have been about 14 kilograms or 31 pounds. And they'd be on a hinge, too.
Yeah.
Which would make it easier. And some people were like, oh, but it would show, like, her bones would have been breaking from opening it. No.
No. Her bones would have broken if she had tried to lift it and it fell back onto her.
Right. However, I actually kind of want to show you this little bit of it.
Okay.
There's a video of a person who I believe is a tourist from China.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very concerning. So the video was uploaded March 2nd of 2013. Elisa's body was discovered February 19th
mm-hmm.
of 13.
Yeah.
This person went to the Cecil Hotel 2 weeks-ish later. And the hotel was still open, which, you know, people are still living there, whatever. The video, and I don't know the name of the person. I tried to do a little bit of Google translation, but it wasn't going very well. The man walked through the hotel and basically walked the route that he think that she took. there was people that said, well, there's no way she would have gotten onto the roof, because when you go up to the roof, there was an alarm if you go out the door to the roof. However, there's fire exits.
Mm-hmm.
So if you climb up those, or the fire stairs, whatever, no alarms. And especially with this hotel, where it had a famously unsafe windows and whatnot, I don't think it would have been a big issue. Because this guy in his video makes it up to the roof without triggering any alarms. So, and this was after she got up there, so you'd think...
up security.
You'd think. So once he gets up to the roof, again, this is 2 weeks later, you can see the water tower, he climbs up the ladder. Two of the tanks had the doors wide open on them.
So it's possible the tank had the door open anyway.
Yeah, but it's less than 2 weeks after her body was discovered, and they haven't closed the tanks and locked them?
Yeah, that's messed up.
That's like, ugh.
But yeah, honestly, that makes me think. I was just thinking, if she wanted to swim, why would you go to all that trouble when the beach is there, or the sea, you know, surrounding yeah. place might have had a pool? But if she's just up there in a manic state and sees the water. So I'm starting to think that the door was...
Yeah, I really think, well, and because it was open when she was found. That was another big thing that people argued about was, well, there was no way she could have closed the door. But if she was in there, the door wasn't closed anyway. Unless somebody opened it, saw her there, and then left. But that doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that?
Mm-mm.
That's not even relevant. Anyway.
Is it possible that management was opening these to collect rain?
Oh, I don't know. Okay, I need to tell this very important side story that you already know.
Okay.
So, I watched this video. Like I said, I don't speak Chinese. The tourist, like, pans the camera, and I'll show you this part of it, over the tanks. And when he stopped on one of them, because I watched it because I was trying to figure out which tank it was. When he stopped on one of them, four characters popped up, and I was like, I wonder if that says, like, this is where she was or something. So I took a picture of the computer screen, because I'm a grandma, and sent it to my favoritest friend, John, who speaks Chinese semi-fluently. He took lessons for, like, 4 years or classes. He's also just, like, a super genius, so whatever. He was also the person that everybody thought I was going to get married to. Anyway, I asked him what the symbols meant, and this was what he said to me in response. When I first saw this, I didn't know the first character with the other three, and I thought it said corpse water basket, which is great. But then I looked up the first, and it is toss, so Google thinks the phrase together is tank for throwing corpses, which, beautiful. But yes, I probably... most of the time I would have tried to Google that myself, but I don't even know how to begin typing that. So it's nice to have a friend. And that was the one that I pointed out, the bottom right one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it's likely tanks were open when she was up there. My personal opinion is she jumped in thinking she would go for a swim while she was in a manic state. When she was inside, she couldn't get back out. When they found her, the tank was between half and three-fourths full. Even at that height and the height that she was... with water level, she wouldn't have been able to stand and pull herself up, I don't think. If there wasn't, like, unless she had really incredible body strength, there's no way out from the inside. The hatch was there to fill the water.
Okay, here's another question.
What?
Autopsy report.
Mm-hmm.
What was the condition of her feet?
Oh, I don't know.
It's possible if she jumped in, if she's in a manic state, she's not going to have the most logical thinking. If the thing is, like you said... about half to three quarters. We're talking 3-4 feet.
Yeah.
So if she jumps in at about 120, 130 pounds, that would be enough force, if she's not thinking and just jumps in, that could have seriously messed up her feet, and that could have been why she couldn't get out.
I don't know. I think if it was... my guess it was higher, because it took 3 weeks for them to find her, you mm-hmm. know? And so my thinking is she probably wouldn't have been able to... like, jump high enough with the water to be able to get high enough up she could pull herself. I don't know, though. Because she may have tried to jump from the roof straight into the tank. I don't know. I really don't know.
But I'm just saying, what if she had, like...
hurt herself?
Yeah, hurt her leg as she came in. I don't know. That could have prevented her. I mean, you said she was, like, what, 5'4", 5'5"?
Between... One said 5'4", another one said 66 inches, which is the same I am, which is 5'6".
So the tank is 6 foot. That's only about 6 inches above her head.
But still, if you don't have the arm strength to do that, you can't get out.
No, but she's a featherweight.
But again, if you don't have the arm strength to do that, you're not going to get out. Because even if she's that light, that's still 120 pounds you got to lift up out of there. And if that's not something that your body's conditioned to do, it's just not going to do it.
Perhaps that's why she stripped her clothes.
That could be.
Maybe when she was in there, she snapped out of the manic state she was in, realized her predicament, realized that her clothes were adding body mass to her. Strips them to try and lighten the load.
Again, you're just reading my notes without actually reading them. But yes, I think that's a good possibility of what happened. And again, not victim blaming, but it is a side effect of mania that you kind of think you're invincible and maybe don't think things through as well as you would when you're in like an average state of mind, you know. I do wonder if she did yell for help, because especially if the door's open, that would have echoed.
Yeah.
But even if she was yelling for help, how would anybody know where to look? Like if you hit 14-story building... Maybe somebody on a nearby building could hear. Where would they even... There's a million different places that could come from.
Yeah, but considering what happened, if someone had heard anything, I'm sure they would have... I heard someone screaming for help, but we didn't know where it came from.
Or it could be, going back to psychology, which you were saying isn't really science, a bystander effect.
I was kidding with that.
I'm gonna murder you. The bystander effect basically says... that the more people witness a crime, the less likely any of them are to report it. Because
they're going to think someone else that witnessed it are going to say.
Yeah. People are more likely to report it if they are the only one that see it, or if it's just a couple people. Because then they're like, oh, I'm responsible. I better do this.
That's actually kind of how one of my great aunts died.
Oh, that's nice.
They think that she had a stroke and ran off the road. Oh, boy. And a guy saw the car and he... You know, he had seen other cars driving, so he's like, oh, someone probably called in, and just kept going. On his way back home, the car was still there.
Oh, jeez.
He checked the car and found her.
Anyway. So, in summary, basically what I believe is what you said. She was prescribed medication, but wasn't taking all of it for one reason or another, and because of that, she was having side effects that she shouldn't have had, like hallucinations or mania. And she wandered onto the roof for some reason, thought it would be a good idea to take a swim, literally what you were saying, get into the tank, and couldn't get out. And, like I said, her phone wasn't with her. She didn't have it, so she couldn't call anybody. And she got stuck, and she couldn't really do anything to call for help, because how often are people going to go up to that roof, in reality?
Mm-hmm. On the water, even at 3 feet, right? Her height, she couldn't have sat down because it would have been like...
So I'm thinking the water must have been higher because the autopsy report said she did tread water for a while. And if you think at least of her height, at least like 8 inches of it was her head,
mm-hmm.
She wouldn't have been able to stand there.
Yeah.
Depending on how high it was when she got in. I don't know. But I do want to say, I wrote in here for once, I'm not seeing aliens. And when I was texting Seth about this earlier, he goes, did aliens do it? And I sent him a screenshot of my notes that literally said, for once, I'm not saying aliens. And we had a good laugh about it. Anyway, so I do want to say, just kind of wrapping things up, her parents did sue the hotel, as you can imagine,
mm-hmm.
Saying they'd been negligent with safety, and they were suing for wrongful death and funeral burial costs. And so Santiago Lopez, the maintenance guy, described how hard it was to get in there. Like, how he had to, like, go up, climb over it, get in, and how it shouldn't have been easy to do. But he also mentioned the alarm on the door. But again, I think she probably just went the route that there wasn't an alarm. The other thing was, she could have had somebody else in on it. Maybe she asked a hotel employee, hey, let me up to the roof. But I think they would have come forward with that, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But again, the tourist video shows how easy it is to get up there without triggering the alarm, so I think that was a mute point, but... Did I say mute point? Moot point.
Moot.
But anyway, the case was dismissed, which is spectacular. Another thing that was interesting, and we talked about this beforehand, if you watch the video, the timestamp is really, like, jumbled up. You can't see it at all. So people say that parts of the video had been removed, maybe to protect someone that wasn't related, or they had a suspect and they took that part out before releasing it to the public. But why would they do that? Like, if they knew who it was, maybe...
By now, we would have had an entire one. Because if they had a suspect, and they were close to linking, they would have used that to prove it.
You'd think, but...
And by now, 7 years later, they'd probably have the full tape released already.
Yeah, and that one is the only one I've been able to find. It's all the same, anywhere you look, so...
But you know who was said to... have technology that interrupts these types of cameras?
Aliens?
Maybe. I was gonna say the Men in Black.
Great.
Well, I can remember seeing I think this might have been like UFO Hunters or one of those really, really very fictionalized network TV alien shows that showed a clip of some aliens... Or not aliens, some proposed Men in Black walking in, and as soon as they get close enough where you could see their face, the camera starts like jumping around, is all jumbled and whatnot.
Those are really creepy videos.
Those are really creepy videos.
They like, I'm getting like shivers up my spine thinking about them.
But see, originally when I saw it, I was like, oh, they probably have some kind of weird technology. Now I look at that and I'm like, wow, this is some really dated Photoshop.
Well, like it. I said to, well, I don't think we actually said this. Maybe we talked about it. The CCTV is typical CCTV footage where nothing is clear.
No, closed circuit TV is horrible.
Yeah. I mean, now it's a lot better now even than it was 7 years ago, but it's still not great.
But, yeah, honestly, some of that footage, it does feel like going back and watching The Phantom Menace if you've watched it in the past. You know what I'm talking about? You sit in the theater and you watch The Phantom Menace and it looks amazing. And then 20 years later, you watch The Phantom Menace and you're going, oh, did Jar Jar always look that bad?
So yeah, just the last little bit of stuff I had. The Cecil did try to rebrand after this. I don't remember what they made their name, but obviously didn't stick.
Because they're still the Cecil.
Well, and then they couldn't get rid of the stigma of somebody died in our water tank and we didn't find them for 3 weeks. So all of our patrons drank corpse water. It's kind of hard to get over a hump like that.
Yeah, and well, sometimes when something's been something for so long, rebranding is very
especially in
hard.
A place like Los Angeles.
Yeah, there was a hotel in my hometown, old hotel. Everyone just called it the hotel. It was right next to the courthouse. Some rich dude bought it, and I guess his last name is Weaver because he renamed it the Grand Weaver Hotel. I have only heard one person ever refer to it as the Grand Weaver Hotel. It was just the old hotel. Yeah.
Anyway, so they are closed.
Really?
Yeah. So, in other words, you can't just wander in like the Chinese tourists and jump into a tank of water anymore. So.
Darn. I was hankering for a swim.
So, I know it seems like kind of a bummer, but I think... Even though it's less fun, sometimes it's important to look at cases like this and realize there is actually a scientific explanation for it. There isn't with every case.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think...
One thing that I've always firmly believed but come to appreciate even more this year, if you have scientific evidence to something, believe it. It's when you don't have the scientific evidence to back it up that you can question it.
Yeah. But yeah, just a really interesting case. And apparently, one of the other comments talked about another case where something similar happened in New York. And I might want to cover that one in another 35 episodes, so we'll see. So she's not the only one that this has happened to. And the other one was pretty much the same thing, mania.
Okay. Alien abduction. Men in Black kept them quiet.
Right. No, so I don't know. But it's a weird thing. It's a crazy case. I was very surprised my mother had never heard of it because I thought everybody knew this case. But like I said, I learned some things I didn't know researching this. So.
Awesome. Wow.
Anyway, let's do our wrap up and then I'm going to show you that video really quick.
It's a computer screen. I can't really wrap it while we're using it.
Find us on socials, CreepyLife/CreepyLifePodcast. Pretty much everywhere. Just search us, will come up. If you want to email us,
CreepyLifePodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, that one. If you want to tell us what your theory is, if it's aliens, I want to hear exactly how you think it happened. Let us know if you've heard this theory before, you knew about it. I was kind of heartbroken when I first read about it because I wanted to believe it was aliens or demon possession. Anyway, please rate and review us on Apple Music, Apple whatever, iTunes. So we'll do an extra episode. Share us with your friends. We like it when you share us with your friends.
Weirdo.
Also, we're over 3,000 listens now.
That's insane.
It is. So thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Oh,
thanks for listening. And one more theory. It was the aliens from M. Night Shyamalan's Signs.
Oh my god.
And she jumped into the water tank because she knew that that was the weapon to defeat them.
I actually really like that theory.
Really?
Let's make a movie based on that theory.
That it's the bad CG aliens from Signs.
They scared the crap out of
me.
Okay, you know
what? But if we're making a movie with this theory, can we please have Joaquin Phoenix show up with a baseball bat?
Yes. That movie, when they're watching the footage, and the alien comes, like, between the two walls, about peed myself. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but, you know, as much as that movie... I mean, I like Signs, but... When your main frightening aliens can be defeated by an army of middle schoolers with super soakers.
That would be awesome.
Forget the parents. They're hiding. The kids are like, oh yeah, Halo taught me this.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Talk to us if you want to, or don't if you don't want to, but we like it when you share us.
We promise we won't be that weird.
I don't promise anything.
I won't be that weird.
Yes, you will.
No, I'm just awkward, not weird.
One of the first things you ever said to me was how you were in a low-budget zombie film.
No, I wanted to make a low-budget
zombie. No, you told me you were in a friend's movie, and you ate barbecued chicken that was made to look like organs.
No, I think we were talking about The Walking Dead.
Nope, you specifically told me you were in a movie.
I've been in a movie.
Technically, now you've been in two.
Yeah.
And the first one is the one you were telling me about.
I was just a friend with a camcorder. I think you're getting things mixed up.
No, I'm not. I remember that specifically. Anyway. Good night, Night Vale. Good night.
Please tell me you're cutting all this off.
I'm cutting a lot of it out. It's going to be about an hour probably still, though.
Yeah.
Well, we've discussed a lot in this one.
Thanks for listening.
Stay creepy. Or don't. We're not your dad.